Good morning, Trinity Church. It is so good to be with you all this morning. Wasn't that just a wonderful testimony of prayer? So thank you, Miss Earlene, wherever you may be. It is such an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be back with you all this morning. The reason why I'm here is because my dad and my mom are celebrating 28 years of marriage this weekend today. Yeah, super, super cool. And so my dad asked if I could come preach for him, and my pastor actually last week asked if I could preach for him on his anniversary. My joke has been, they probably asked the single guy, because they're like, we know you got time. We know you don't have an anniversary coming up. No, but all jokes aside, I am actually so glad to be with you all this morning. It's always a honor, a privilege, and a pleasure, and I always like giving just a little bit of a life update to just my Trinity family, just having been here just for a lot of years, and trying to share some stuff. Hopefully, maybe my dad might have shared it already on Facebook. If you follow him on Facebook, he loves doing that kind of stuff. But this past year, I've been a part of doing campus ministry at Michigan State University. And it's been a fantastic year. Like, the Lord has been doing so many good things. And the cherry on top of this past school year was this event that we had called MSU Now. And we had about 15 to 20 different ministries, both from campus as well as from across the city, coming together at a lecture hall. And we had about 300 to 350 students and people from across the city come just to lift high the name of Jesus. People got saved. People got prayed for. And so I just want to declare that the Lord is doing a work at Michigan State. He is doing something incredible. But there's been a new development in my life personally. This coming fall, in a crazy series of events and just open doors, is that I'm actually transitioning into teaching high school Bible at Lansing Christian, just right around the corner. Super crazy. So, like, I will be a legitimate high school teacher this coming fall semester. And before we dive into the message, I did this last service and I want to do it this service, is that I want to make a public declaration about high schoolers. I don't know if you all have high schools or just Gen Z in general. So that's like, some elementary, some high school, some college students. But I want to make a public declaration and say this, is that Jesus has an inheritance in Gen Z. Is that Gen Z has been declared a post-Christian generation, but I want to come with a good report today, is that Jesus is going to do something absolutely mind-boggling with Gen Z. And I have faith that, I just want to declare it for any high schoolers in here, I want to declare it for any parents, that Gen Z will not be a post-Christian generation, but it will be the generation that is most on fire for Jesus. It'll be the generation that loves the Lord with everything that they are. And so I just want to make a bold declaration that the Lord is getting ready to do something in Gen Z that is beyond anything we can think or imagine. And so I just want to give a shout out to all the teachers, anybody who does ministry with high schoolers or anybody involving Gen Z, is that they are on the front lines. And the Lord has been just so kind into opening this door for me to step in and join the teachers on the front lines with impacting Gen Z. And so I'm so, so excited about that. And it's a new opportunity, a new door to see what the Lord will do. And so I'm just really, really excited about that. But anyway, so we're gonna continue on in the series that you all have been going through in the Gospel of John. And my dad last week touched on John chapter 16. And today we're actually going to be entering into John 17. And the way that I like to declare John 17 is like, John 17 is kind of like the Super Bowl in the upper room discourse, or John 13 to 17, because, the Super Bowl or, the NBA Finals, I was actually kind of rooting for the Celtics, but Steph Curry, he's just a deadly three-point shooter. But much like the Super Bowl, Bowl and the NBA Finals, you know, you have the regular season, you enter into the playoffs, and then there's this climax to the season, the NBA Finals and the Super Bowl. And John 17 is kind of like the NBA Finals or the Super Bowl to the Upper Room Discourse, or John 13 to 17, because Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's preparing them for the time that he's about to leave the earth. And he's saying, this is how you navigate the coming trials. This is how you navigate the coming, the tribulations and all of these things that you'll be facing after I leave the earth. And John 17 is that moment where Jesus, he stops teaching and he stops instructing his disciples, and he just goes straight up and looks right at the Father. And he goes straight up and he prays and he talks to the Father and he says some deep and intimate things that we have to lean in and listen to. And Jesus prays, and you know, this passage is the climax of the Upper Room Discourse, and one word can sum up all of John 17. One word can sum up all of John 17, and it's this: it's fellowship. It's fellowship. Is that Jesus prays that we would fellowship with him and the Father, and he also prays that we would fellowship with one another. And today we're talking about fellowshipping with God, and then my dad next week will talk about fellowshipping with one another, or unity in the body of Christ. And when I like to frame up John 17 in this way as well, is that it's a little bit more than just a message where you can just pick verses and just give a teaching on, because Jesus, how many of you all know when the pressures of life come around you that what you really want comes out? You know, when the pressures of life come around you, Jesus had the pressures of death and betrayal squeezing him, and what he really wants comes out in John 17. And so today we'll just be looking at a few verses, and it's John 17 verses 1 through 19, and we're gonna hone in and focus on John 17, 3. And then we'll just dive right into it and just see what the Lord does. So I will pray for us, and then we'll just hop right in, okay? Father, we just say thank you, Lord, for your glorious Son. We say thank you for Christ Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross to open a new and a living way for us to come and to fellowship with you, Lord. And so, God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would give us a grace, Lord, to understand what it means to fellowship with you. Lord, I'm asking that you would give us open hearts to receive what Jesus prayed for, that you would give us open ears to hear and listen to what he says. So God, I'm asking that you would touch us this morning in new and a fresh way to fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is what John 17 verses 1 through 19 says. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Amen. You know, Jesus, you know, he had a prolific prayer life. Jesus was a man who, you know, he would go to desolate places and he would go and pray and commune with the Father. Jesus was a man who went and he would go on top of mountains and he would go and commune and he would pray with the Father. He would talk to the Father. And you can imagine just the kind of depth and of fellowship that Jesus had with the Father. That this is the eternal Son of God actually talking to the eternal Father in the eternal, through the eternal Spirit. That God, that Jesus would go and he would fellowship with the Lord. And rarely do we actually get to see or hear or read about what Jesus actually prayed and communed and how he talked to God. But in John 17, we actually get a little window. We get a little glimpse into the way that Jesus fellowshiped and communed with God. And one of the glorious parts of this is, like I said, is that when Jesus is pressed and he's squeezed and he's, you know, he has his death on just a few hours ahead of him, and his friends would abandon him and one of them would betray him, that when he has these pressures around him, what he really wants comes out. And John 17 is the holiest conversation that we have in the Bible, because it's God the Son talking to God the Father through God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gives us a window into what it looks like, you know, to commune with God, to fellowship with him, and to actually talk with God. And, you know, can you imagine the kind of depth that Jesus had with his communion with God? That he would probably, you know, they would be probably talking on levels that we wouldn't even know. But the truth of the matter is this, is that Jesus in John 17 isn't just praying a prayer, but he's actually praying to the Father that we would actually be caught up in the same fellowship and the same communion that they have. Is that our Christian life doesn't just have to be a surface level, go here, go there, I come to church on a Sunday, but Jesus is actually praying that we would get caught up into the fellowship of divine community. That the relationship that he has with his Father and the Father has with him in the Holy Spirit, that we would actually get caught up in that same fellowship, that we would actually get caught up in that same community that they have. And this is the glorious aspect of Jesus's prayer life, is that he doesn't just pray just to pray and just make a show of it, but he invites you and me into the very thing that he's doing. And this is our call as believers, that this is our call as Christians, is to fellowship and to commune with God in the same way that Jesus did. And so this is what he says in John 17, verse 3. This is what he said in John 17, verse 3. He says, since you have given him, or I'm starting in verse 2, it says, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. He says this, and this is eternal life. Now we just got to kind of pause right there, because here is the eternal Son of God talking to the eternal Father through the eternal Spirit about eternal life. it's one of those moments in those passages in the Bible that you have to stop, pause, and consider. So the question is, what do you all think eternal life is? You know, some of us here are probably thinking, you know, like, eternal life is probably something like floating angel babies with halos, and, you know, they got wings and, you know, all of that stuff, and we're floating on clouds and all of that. But Jesus here defines eternal life. Jesus here actually gives us the very definition of what eternal life is. And it's this in John 17, verse 3. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying that eternal life, salvation, is not just a prayer, but it's a person. That salvation isn't just found in just saying, "Jesus, I believe in you, and I have the golden ticket now to heaven and all of those good things." But eternal life is found in fellowship and communion with the one from eternity past. Is that eternal life isn't found in the substance of our prayer. Yes, it's about confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Yes, it's about believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. That's in Romans 10. But it's more than just saying, "Jesus, I believe in you. I declare you to be Lord." But it's about this continuous relationship, this continuous fellowship with the one in whom eternal life is found. That this is the glory of the Christian life, is that we don't just say yes and amen to a prayer, but it's about this daily and this fellowship, this lifetime, this lifestyle of fellowship with God. And Jesus invites us into this, and he says, that is eternal life. That you would enter into this fellowship, that you would enter into this community, that you would know God the Father and God the Son in the Holy Spirit. My second question this morning is, you know, have you ever wrestled with your calling? Have you ever wrestled with your calling? You know, a few years ago, I thought my calling was to be a dentist. You know, I was like, I love brushing my teeth. I might as well brush somebody else's teeth. You know, like, might as well. You know, I thought my calling was to be a dentist. And then there was a moment in a day where I was walking up the steps of my parents' home, and the Lord, it was like the presence of the Lord just kind of came on me. And at the top of the steps, the Lord asked me the question. He said, "You can either do it your way or you can do it my way." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go and I'll preach the gospel." And he's opened the doors ever since. And so that's a part of my calling, is to preach the gospel, is to declare the majesty of Christ Jesus. But let me tell you something. This is not that, this what I'm doing right here is not my highest calling. What, your highest calling is not to be a business person or to be a teacher or to be, you know, whatever you feel like the Lord has called you to do in regards to vocation and all these things. Your highest calling, my highest calling, every believer's highest calling is to enter into the fellowship that God the Father has with the Son in the Holy Spirit. That Jesus actually came and he gave his life on the cross. The Father sent and he loved the world so much that he gave his Son. That Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life over, not just so that we could pray a prayer and say, "Okay, I'm in," but to say, "No, I'm actually entering into the fellowship of the divine community." That the Lord opened a new and a living way by the body of his Son so that we could fellowship with him. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." That we have been called to partake. We have been called to commune and to fellowship and to enter into that relationship that God has with his Son, and that we would enter into it faithfully, and that we would enter into it with a heart full of love. And one of these, and as we're talking about, you know, entering into this fellowship of divine community and, you know, relating to God and what Jesus says, you know, in John 17 about knowing God the Father, knowing God the Son, and all of these different things. You know, sometimes it kind of sounds ethereal, kind of sounds unreachable, it kind of sounds daunting. But the truth of the matter is this, is that John, the Apostle John, actually talks about fellowshipping and communing with the Father, that the early church actually did this. And this is what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, in verse 3. It says this, "That which was from the beginning, concerning the word of life," talking about Jesus, "that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son." And so John here is saying that we preach the gospel not only so that you could have fellowship with us, but we preach the gospel so that you can enter into fellowship with God, most importantly. And that's why I'm preaching today, is to encourage and to stir you all's hearts to enter into more than just coming here on a Sunday or coming on another meeting on a Wednesday. But what does your life with God look like on a Tuesday? What does your life with God look like on a Friday evening? What does your life with God look like on the weekend? That this, it's more than just saying yes to Jesus, but it's about this ongoing and continuous conversation. You know, you know, it's kind of one of those things that it takes time. It takes consistency and it takes intentionality. And one of the points that I want to make here is that it takes loving God with everything that we are. Is that God is love, and the fellowship that God and the Father, that the Father and the Son have together, it requires, they love one another wholeheartedly. And they love one another with everything that they have. And have you ever been a part of those friend groups where you're like on the outside of the circle and you're like, man, this is kind of awkward. And, you know, you're like, man, it seems like everybody is having fun. But, you know, it's like, I want to join in on the fun as well. Well, you know, I was actually kind of at the beach a couple weeks ago, and you know, I was with a group of people, and I just found myself on the outside of the circle, and everybody was like passing around like Starburst and, you know, Sour Patch, and I'm like, hey guys, like include me, I want a Sour Patch or something like that, you know. And have you ever had like those moments where you just felt outside of the circle? Well, it's kind of sometimes, in a similar way, it's the same thing with God and the fellowship that he has with his Son. Is that in order to have fun in the circle, in order to get in the circle, obviously it takes, yes, saying yes to Jesus, but to experience the delight and the joy that the Father has in the Son, and the Son has the Father in the Holy Spirit, it takes wholehearted love. It takes wholehearted love. Because God is love, and he loves with the fullness of his being. He loves with everything that he is. And the truth of the matter is that if we ought to experience the joy and the delight that God has, it requires that we also love him wholeheartedly. Is that we would love God with everything that we are. Is that Jesus here, he gives us the key in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. He says, you know, these are when all the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders are asking him, what is the greatest command? Out of everything that the Lord has given us, what is the greatest? And Jesus says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." And so Jesus here, I think when he was saying this, when he was making this declaration of what is the first and the greatest commandment, he was giving us the key on what it means and what it looks like to enjoy fellowship with God, what it enjoys to commune with him in its wholehearted love. And my question to you all today is this, is do you love God with everything that you are? You know, my highest goal and my highest aim in life is not to preach to a crowd of thousands or preach to millions of people. That's not my highest dream and that's not my highest goal. My highest goal in life is to love the Lord with everything that I am. That doesn't, and it doesn't matter if my ministry is big or if it's really small. But my love for the Lord is real. Your love for the Lord is real. Even though our love for him may be kind of weak, you know, we may stumble here and there. But if you have real love for God, that's it's real to him. And I want to encourage you all today is that as you fellowship with God, as you commune with him, as you enter into what he has called you into, which is fellowship with his son, that it requires that we love him with everything that we are. All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, that the first commandment ought to be first place in our life because it's first to God. And as we get to know him, we understand that a little bit more. But as I talk about here, you know, fellowship with God and fellowship with his son, and this is what we're called to do, you may be saying, well, you know, how do we fellowship with God? You know, he's the most powerful, the most glorious, the most beautiful, the most transcendent, the most kind, the most gracious being in the entire universe. And you're telling me he gave his son so that I can enter into fellowship with him. Well, what on earth does that mean? And just like I said, the John 17 can be summed up by one word, and it's fellowship. The answer to how we fellowship with God can be summed up into one word, and it's prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's talking to God. It's conversing with God, having a dialogue with him. You know, how many of you all know, like, you know, it's when you like hang out with your friends or, you know, you might go out on a date or something like that. It's pretty awkward if you just sat and looked at each other like, you know, have you ever been in one of those moments where you're like sitting with somebody you don't really know and you're just, yeah, okay. You know, it's just one of those, it's just like a really awkward moment. And I think in a similar way, that's the same thing with God, is that in order to grow and to develop your relationship with somebody, it takes communication. And I've learned this a lot over the past year as just entering into ministry and all of these things, is that it takes communication. It takes talking. And Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross so that we would be in right relationship with God, so that we could talk to him, so that we could commune with him, so that we could fellowship with him. And that's the point of my message today, really. And that's a lot of the point of John 17, is that we would fellowship with God. And Jesus models in John 17 exactly how we do that, and it's prayer. And so how do we pray? You know, some of us, like Miss Arlene, she's been praying for years and years and years. And so, you know, but some of us, you know, we may just be beginning on the journey. And how do we develop a life of prayer? How do we develop a life of fellowship and communion with God? The first thing is this, is time. The first thing is time. And, you know, what I like to say is that we make time for the things that we value. We make time. You know, you may say, oh man, you know, I'm really busy. I got a busy schedule. I have a busy schedule too. But you make time for the things that you cherish the most. You make time for the things that you value the most. And so really my question, the question about prayer is, How valuable is your relationship with God, and how much do you value deepening that relationship with him? Because you can deepen your relationship with God through Bible study. You can deepen your relationship with God through worship and musical worship. But one of the primary ways that we deepen our relationship with God, our fellowship with God, is by prayer. Is by talking to him. And many of you all know that I like to read the Bible out loud. And in the same way, I like to pray out loud. Because the truth of the matter is that you need to hear you talking to God. That's really what prayer is about. It's like, of course, you can pray in your mind. Of course, you can pray kind of in your heart. But you need to hear you admit to God your need for him. You need to hear you thank the Lord and how he's blessed you in your family. It's the prayer changes you as you hear yourself talk to God. And so the thing that I want to challenge you all today is, what does your schedule look like? How are you organizing your time? How are you setting aside time to spend with God? It doesn't have to be, you know, an hour or two a day or whatever it may seem like to you or whatever you may be thinking. But I want to give a challenge. And I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit on giving homework assignments because that's what I'll be doing in the fall. But I want to give you all a homework assignment. Is that this week, schedule just 15 minutes every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Just schedule 15 minutes every single day to say, this is my time with God. This is my time just to pray and just to talk to him. And I guarantee your relationship in that moment will go way deeper than it already was. One of my favorite Bible teachers, he always says this. He says, if you schedule your time to talk to God, you will pray 10 times as much than you will on the go. Because, you know, I personally get into the habit of, you know, okay, I got a meeting, and so I'm just going to hop in my car and just talk to the Lord on the way. And then I start thinking about this thing, and then I start thinking about that thing. And then when I get to my destination, I have barely even said a word to the Lord. But there's value in setting aside time to say, Lord, this is my time with you. And this is I'm not going to let anything interrupt this. And so first thing is time. The second thing is consistency. Is that it not only takes time, but it also takes consistency to deepen our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord. Is that, you know, it's not just enough just to say, okay, I got 15 minutes on Monday, and then a month later, I got 15 minutes on Tuesday, you know? But it takes just this consistency of talking to the Lord, of actually fellowshipping with him on a regular basis. And then number three is intentionality. Is that there will be things that vie for your time, there will be things that pry for your time and your attention, but to say, I'm going to discard all of my distractions, I'm gonna put away social media for a minute, I'm gonna put away Netflix for a minute, I'm gonna put away my work just for a moment, and right now, it's just me and the Lord. Right now, it's just me and God. And one of the habits that I've gotten into a little bit earlier this year was as soon as I wake up, I would take the first 15 minutes and just enter right into talking to God. Some of us have to have our morning coffee first, you know. But the truth of the matter is that I like to just wake up and just begin just saying, Lord, thank you for waking me up. Lord, thank you for another breath in my lungs. And just taking a moment just to, you can use the phrase, make eye contact with God. Because we can go about our day and not even think about him, but just taking a moment and just to look at him and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you care about me. Thank you that you love me. Lord, I'm asking that you would give me just a deeper passion for you, a greater love for you. Lord, would you touch my heart today? Would you just bless me today in a way that I just didn't expect? Or would you show me something about yourself that I haven't seen before? And just taking that moment just to pause and just to talk to him. And you hearing you will change the way that you do life. It'll change the way that you interact with people around you. And so it takes time, it takes consistency, and it takes intentionality to deepen our fellowship and our relationship with God. And this is what Jesus prays for. This is what Jesus prays that we would enter into, is that eternal life isn't just saying a prayer, but it's about clinging to a person. It's about fellowshipping with the one in whom eternal life is found. And this is the glorious call of every believer. This is not just exclusive to the prayer ministry. This is not just for, you know, people who just kind of, you know, are, you know, really zealous or like really passionate, but everybody who has said yes to Jesus is called to fellowship with God. Everybody who has said yes to Jesus is called to a little bit of prayer, a little bit of conversation with God. And for me personally, you know, I'm 25 years old right now, and I'm not interested in just little sound bites of conversation with God. But, oh man, this makes me want to cry. I want a history with God. Do you all know what I mean? Like, I want a history with God. That when I would look back, when I'm, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old, that I would look back on my 20s and say, I took time to begin building and fellowshipping with God when I was a young man. And some of us are just beginning the journey, and that's okay. Today is a great day to start. Today is a great day to start and to begin building a history with the Lord. And the man Daniel, it said that he would pray like 3 times a day, and he would do that since he was a young man. And I'm like, that is the kind of life that I'm interested in living. I don't really have an interest in, you know, all the other stuff that people my age do sometimes, you know. I'm interested in having a life that's consecrated to the Lord. I'm interested in having a life that's fully devoted to Him, in which I would say, Lord, I want to look back on my teenage years. I want to look back on my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, 50s. When I'm at the end of my life, I want to say, Lord, I have a deep relationship with You. And I took the time to talk to You. I took the time to actually relate to You. And the glorious part of this whole thing is that God likes to talk back. Is that God likes to talk back. And there are different ways that He does it. He'll talk through a friend, or He may talk through, you know, the Bible, or He may, you know, there may be a different way He may talk to you, but He loves to talk back. And that's not just a monologue, but it's a dialogue. It's a conversation. That's the kind of life that I'm interested in. And I hope that that's something that you're interested in doing as well. Because this is what we're called to do. And when we get to see Him face to face, it's just like picking right back up on that deep fellowship, and it goes even deeper. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to invite you all to stand, and we're going to respond here. It's that Jesus in John 17 prayed that we would know Him. Prayed that we would enter into a deeper fellowship with Him and the Father. And so I'm going to also invite the prayer team up. You all know who you are. Just invite the prayer team up here on the sides. And I want to give 2 calls today. Is that Jesus prayed, He said, this is eternal life, that they know You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent. And so the first call today is that if you haven't begun your journey with Jesus yet, today is the day of salvation. Is that today is the day, today is a great day, today is a beautiful day to begin your relationship with the Lord. Is that today He's pulling on your heart and saying, I desire a relationship with You and to have a fellowship with You. And so today is the day of salvation and a call to it. And so that's the first call. If you've never said yes to Jesus, today is the day. And the prayer team will lead you and guide you in just giving your life over to the Lord. And it requires, like I said, wholehearted love and this full-on devotion to Him. But then the second call today is if you are saying, man, I want a deeper relationship with God. You've already said yes to Jesus. You know, you're like, man, I'm trying to live the best life that I possibly can in Jesus, but I want to go deeper. Then today is also a call to that as well. Is that a deeper life of prayer, of scheduling your time, being consistent in it, and also being intentional in your prayer times. And so those are the 2 calls today. And so the prayer team will be up here up front. And I'm just going to pray for us, bless us, and then dismiss the service. But if that's something, or any of those two things is something that you're interested in, or something that you feel the Lord stirring your heart or tugging your heart with, then please come to the front. And I'd be happy to pray, and the prayer team would be happy to pray for you as well. So I'm going to pray for us, bless us, and then we'll be done here. So yes, Father, we just say thank you for the call and to fellowship with you and your Son. Lord, that you have called us into a life of deep communion with you, deep prayer with you. And so, God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give us a grace this week to schedule our time, to talk and to commune with you, that this is the greatest privilege and the greatest honor that we have as believers. Lord, I'm asking also that you would give us the grace for consistency and intentionality, that we would realize that fellowship with you is eternal life. Lord, that this is our highest calling, and that loving you is what you ask of us with everything that we are. And so, God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you would continue to give us the grace this week, Lord, and the weeks ahead and the months ahead and the years ahead to fellowship with you, Lord, to deepen our relationship with you. So, God, I'm asking that you would bless us as we leave this place. And, Lord, that you would stir our hearts in the days and the weeks ahead. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be blessed, everybody.